Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Don't Change Your Dial. Don't touch that dial. Don't.
That's not the name of the show, Alex.
I know, but everyone thinks it's supposed to be, you know, Sean and Denise, but it's not today. It's not.
It is not.
Because apparently they decided to not immediately go from the airplane to talking about a show they didn't watch because they were on the airplane. So it's a sour grapesy kind of version of the Bra Post Show with me, Alex Pulowski, and also Kate Elizabeth.
It is, mates. Denise and Sean traveling from London. They did make it onto planes, which doesn't seem to be the case for everybody. So very thankful that they had safe travels. Thanks to the chat for saying, Sean, you look cute today. If I'm Sean, thank you. If Alex is Sean, he's adorable. But this is your Raw Post Show for Monday, August 28th. Guys, get in your Super Chats. Get in your Humper Chats at humperchats.com. We have a whole laundry list of things that we ask you to do at the beginning of the show. Not just those two things, but also asking you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We crashed the 100,000 subscriber mark. No big deal. But if you want to be cool like 100,000 other people, you should definitely tap that bell for notifications and hit subscribe. We'll also, of course, remind you to leave a thumbs up on this video to help people find us in the algorithm. And head on over to FightfulSelect.com. If you hate this place, I don't know why you'd want to give us your $5, but CM Punk sure seems to, according to the newest on FightfulSelect.com. But we've got more than CM Punk drama, okay? I know that is always predominantly what feels like it's going on there. But there's going to be all sorts of news headed in and out of Payback. More news headed from Wembley, of course, back to the U.S., bruv. Because we've got another pay-per-view All Out also on the back of this for AEW. You'll also get Alex and I doing Sour Grapes post-shows for any pay-per-view that we can get our dirty little hands on. So please join us on Fightful Select there. And yeah, as well as Sean's Q&A, you get bonus episodes of stuff, all the scoops in the land. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you were at Baskin Robbins, mm-hmm. you'd be like, can I get the Fightful Select? And they'd be like, what's that? And you'd be like, a scoop of everything. Cause we got so many scoops over there. This is not normally our jam. Normally, we're behind the paywall on Mondays, but we're gonna do our best.
Yeah, we're gonna do this. We should do this. Let's do this. Why not? You guys, if our normal Tuesday kids are here, be nice to the Monday kids, and vice versa, please.
No middle school bullying. There's enough of that going on backstage, apparently. We don't need that.
So if you yeah, here we go. Luis is in charge as always. So here we go. They were kind to us, Kate.
They were.
They did not do another Judgment Day versus some combination of Sammy, KO, or Seth match for, I believe, the 14th week in a row. There have been so many. You know how bad it is? You know how bad it's gotten? Denise was complaining about it last week. That's how bad it's gotten. Denise was like, I feel like I'm watching too many of these in a row. Every week we get a Judgment Day versus some combination of Seth, KO, and Sammy. And we didn't. We kicked it off. We're kicking it off with Damian Priest versus sure. Sami Zayn. Damian Priest decided coming out there all by himself. And I guess the idea was that Sammy came out by himself because baby faces. but it would have been nice for KO just to hang out. He could have been on commentary for this. KO on commentary is always good. We always like that. So yeah, perhaps that might have been a smart deal, because wouldn't you know it, old JD McDonuts decided to show up and get involved. And if KO had been out there, he might have been able to thwart that. But he pulls on Sammy's leg as he's about to go for the Hoover kick. And Sammy turns around and looks at him like, hey, don't do that. Right. And then he turns around and gets chokeslammed south of heaven and gets pinned. I thought that Damian Priest was very rude to JD McDonuts.
I think you're right.
Because JD McDonuts was out there trying to help him, trying to get himself into the good graces of the Judgment Day. And and old Damian cannot accept the help offered to him by JD McDonuts.
So I'll just add that I feel like there's some good and bad here. The bad being that we do kind of keep reinforcing this idea that baby faces are silly and they never anticipate more than one member of Judgment Day is going to show up, despite that usually being the case. Mm-hmm. Nobody on any of the three brands that they now show up on tends to anticipate this. And there are some baby faces that can work for. I feel like Sami Zayn shouldn't be one of them, not only because he's a veteran, but because, you know, all of the bloodline stuff. You would think maybe Sami Zayn, a smart guy, might have learned a lesson in all of that about a numbers game in particular. So that part of it was not my favorite. Now, what I do like is, even though Judgment Day is not for me and it's really not for you, there are things happening within it, at least now, with this JD McDonuts wrinkle being added here. I do appreciate that there's actually something other than just overbooking going on, because for a while, that's really all we were getting, and things kind of became somewhat predictable with the Money in the Bank briefcase. So I really actually like JD McDonuts being folded into this picture a little bit. It at least is a catalyst. It gives a place for a new talent to show up and a story for them to walk into, which is always refreshing and good. And JD, I can't even remember his real name, McDonough, because we always call him McDonuts. I forget his name. JD McDonough and Finn Balor have a storied history on the indies kind of going through here. And it is just refreshing to see that picture at least having some new life to it, some new energy, because WWE, we've heard, kind of use this as the next long-term juggernaut next to the bloodline. So I think it's good that they're at least doing something to keep it fresh, because that's always kind of my complaint with these, is they tend to stall out. So glad they're at least moving things along a little bit, which is great. But I feel like Sami Zayn is a smarter fella than to not bring anybody out with him, but the Judgment Day getting in their own way a little bit here.
Yeah, it does feel like we're slow playing the McDonut hand until we need it's going to be a 4-on-4, because as much as we would love to see Rhea Ripley involved in the inevitable War Games match, War Games, where we battle frolic, because it's not War Games unless he's there. We know she's not, So they're you can't do 3-on-3. So you got to do at least 4-on-4.
Correct.
So it's going to be probably they're going to add JD to the team for that. Maybe they might stretch it out so that the only way Damian accepts him in is because they need a fourth guy. And Finn is like, this is the guy. And Damon's like, no, we should just get Bronson Reed. And honestly, they probably should. But like, that's probably what they're going to do. And then like, it's going to be like the Judgment Day versus Team Cody's All-Stars and probably be Sammy and KO in there as well. You know, that kind of a thing.
That sounds so varsity.
Yeah.
It does. So the varsity team. I agree with you. I think that's actually not the worst either in that the timing for that lines up. I feel like after SummerSlam, we kind of go into this weird lull where things start to taper off and we're kind of just stalling time until we get to Royal Rumble season. But it's very stable heavy right now. I love stables. I like how they do it in AEW. I love how they do it in New Japan. I'm a big stable gal. I think it's a very natural story. Like, hey, you were mean to my friends, so I'm going to be mean to you. Very natural story. I was in a sorority. This is how I was raised in college, okay? I'm just saying. Yeah. But going into Survivor Series, that numbers game makes sense. And because there's been so much dissension within Judgment Day, you can have that come into play to cost them if you want to. So it makes sense.
Right. Speaking of making sense and things not, KO apparently came through the crowd to get behind JD McDonuts. And stunner him when he turned around after Damian abandoned him, because Damian like shoved him down, was like, stay out of my business, and then he left. And JD's like, I'm just trying to be your friend. And then he turned around and KO apparently had snuck in through the back and then stunnered him, and then Sammy hit him with the Luva kick. And so that's what we've done with JD McDonuts. And later, I'm folding in all this Judgment Day stuff.
No, go for it.
Right now. Later we have Finn and Damian at each other, yelling at each other about, you know, this is my friend JD McDonuts. He should be in our group. And Damian Priest is like, no, he shouldn't. And that's basically that. That's the thrust of things. And then Rhea's like, both of you guys shut up. I'm pulling down weight because I got this belt that makes me a target for people like Raquel Rodriguez. And then Dominic, who's perfect, it can't do anything wrong. He's got a title from North American Championship in NXT. Where are your guys' belts? Matter of fact, I think if you guys don't win this title match you got on Saturday at Payback, then there's going to have to be some changes made around here. Yes, because the Judgment Day has a title match at Payback. And later, also, we see Sammy and KO doing more stupid stuff. They're like, we went and talked to Adam Pearce. And so we're going to be in Pittsburgh. What do they call Pittsburgh? Steel City? Steel City. We're going to do a Steel City street fight because there's two of us and there's four of you. And when there's a street fight, there's nothing that says that the two guys that we're fighting can't bring out their friends to also get involved in the match, which makes it 4-on-2. And we asked for this because we're smart baby faces. And I'm just like, you should be doing a steel cage match, or the stipulation you asked for is that they're banned from the arena. Like, do something that doesn't allow for the numbers game to come more into play. That just seems very unsmart of them.
It does. I don't mean to sound harsh, but it seems silly. It seems extremely silly of them. I would even go as far as to say they're silly billies about this, but backtracking a little bit, Mother Rhea, we pray to thee. We love her. She's been killing it on NXT with Lyra Valkyria. Not so much on the main roster for a while, but I do actually really kind of like what we got with Raquel today. There was actually some kind of like tenacity around her other than back muscles. So that was good to see. It was very good. So looking forward to that. Also just looking forward to that match. We know what they're capable of from NXT. I think this will be good. I'm excited to see what Raquel can do with someone like Rhea, because so often we've been getting the story of Raquel is bigger than the average gal, and now she's up against brick house Rhea Ripley, badass dominant champion. It feels like a real challenge for Rhea, so I think that's very productive. I kind of agree with you on the side of, if we're in the Steel City, a steel cage match is right there. It's right in the name, Alex. Mm-hmm. It's sitting right there.
A Steel City steel cage match. Steel.
A steel. And you know what? I heard it was quite the bargain they got that steel cage for. One might call it a steal of a deal. Huh?
It's right there.
Get in your super chats and humper chats for more gold like this. But I do I do agree with you on the numbers game. The other thing that allows, though, I don't know if they'll take advantage of it because that's not WWE style so much, is they can find an alliance, right? They could find another tag team DIY to maybe come out and help them. That would be refreshing. Or they could find friends of their own. I would really like that as a foray into a feud of like, hey, we came out to help you. We're looking for those tag titles because you owe us something, is a really nice, just easy, clean story to set up without it being we're face, we're heel, because I feel like Johnny Gargano coming back into the picture would be a very face thing, and Kevin and Sammy are so over, they're going to perpetually be over. So it's a really nice and easy way to set up a story like that of like, we came to your aid, to even the numbers game out a little bit. Obviously, nobody's really touching Rhea. Johnny Gargano would probably take some spot. But I do think, like, if they're smart baby faces, there's a really fun way to do something there. And even if it's not DIY, I just keep pushing that because that's my dream. That's a little Kate dream that she's had since before KO and Sammy became champions. I would really like to see that. But it's also, you could slide any alliance in there, Seth Rollins and a friend or whatever you want to do. So hopefully they do the smart thing and it feels more like a fair fight.
They won't, but yes, no, but hopefully they do.
It's fun to dream, Alex.
It's fun. It is fun to dream. It's always fun to dream. Henry the Casey says, happy Monday. Hey, I got that right this time. Yeah. Days of the week, not a strong suit of Henry the Casey. But thank you. You got it right this time. Love to see a wrestling show where you get multiple women's segments.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat.
And they gave the women's match a lot of time. Prominently featured in the main event, no less.
Yeah. And it was really good, Alex. It's funny how that turns out. It's like, it is, if you give people opportunities, they keep knocking them down.
Yep.
It's almost like women are also capable of delivering great wrestling.
Yes.
So that's neat.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Raquel, so we'll talk about this little video package they did for her.
She has a back.
She has a back. We saw it very close up while lifting weights. She has a back, but unfortunately, she also has a front, because that's where the promos come out of. And she doesn't speak well. Like, I was listening to it, and I was like, you're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Like the words that should be, I'm going to cut her down to size is not how you say that phrase. That's not the way you do that. So I'd be like, you know what? Honestly, I like the angle they're doing here, which is like, nobody can manhandle Rhea Ripley except for Raquel Rodriguez. That's cool, because you've been telling the story of Rhea gets to be a bully with everybody, but she can't be a bully with Raquel. So now what is she going to do? That's a really good angle for the match and for their feud. That's great. I don't know if it's probably too late to get her a manager. But it would be great if somebody was cutting those promos for her, or because it's a pre-tape, have somebody there who's like, let's try that again and maybe say it this way. And then it wouldn't be so distracting from the rest of the thing, at least for me, for somebody who has a brain problem, who can't get past these things.
You don't have a brain problem. Brutality, you better not be showing your age, because I completely thought of this when Alex just said that. Yep. We are going to pump you up. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the video package wasn't the greatest. And I also feel like they've just never really actually settled into what it is that makes Raquel great. I think we saw a lot of glimpses of it in NXT. When I cover NXT extensively, we saw her doing better work. And I understand wanting to keep her face. That makes sense. Yep. But I don't think she's this face. I feel like so far we've only seen her be really smiley and get injured and have a lot of different tag team partners. That's not like enough of a character for someone to sink their teeth into to give a really good promo. And also, you're right in that this was a pre-tape. You could have just edited this until you kind of got something a little bit better here, but who knows what goes on. I just feel like she's a little bit too, like, Super Raquel. And she
is very Super Raquel.
Yeah, it's a little heavy-handed in that regard. I always liked her better on the heel side in NXT, but even if you want to make her a face, I feel like there's a really great way to do that. And this just isn't the personality that... Well,
She's at least she's not doing the Dora the Explorer stuff that she was doing year ago, where she would come out and like say, like, it is un honor, an honor to face you for this title. Like, at least she's not doing that anymore. But I think she's best used as some kind of like badass tweener. Like the baby face thing just doesn't, it doesn't, like the idea of, well, the problem that everyone has been facing when they come up against Rhea is they think they're with the power of their goodness, they're going to win the day. And Raquel comes in and says, no, I'm just going to kick your ass. Like there's something that was what they were doing with her back in NXT. And that's why it worked. And they haven't done that really with her on the main roster, and that's why it hasn't.
Alex, when you were just speaking about that, I just was thinking about, like, there are people in this world who can't put the power in their goodness. You know what I mean?
They can't put the power in their goodness?
No, they need a little help putting the power in their goodness.
Oh, putting that power
in that goodness.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you need a lot of power for that goodness, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't want to leave them disappointed. Mm-hmm. You need it to last for a while. Mm-hmm. You got a lot to power through. Well, my friends, I've got just the goodness for you to be helped with. Sean?
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call-up with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use Blue Chew, and the code FIGHTFUL helps give you that confidence, that performance to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, you just arrive straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing. And right now, you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top. You know what I mean. Memorable performance, high spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Oh my goodness. Get it?
I do get it, because we were talking about powering the goodness.
We were talking about goodness, yeah.
Clicked the wrong video. It still was the right sponsor, but I was trying to play a different one that my segue like threw better to. But we made it work, because we're all stars here, okay?
We are professional.
Professional. Oh, I don't have my spinny chair today. However,
I am a
professional.
Yep.
Okay. I spoke at a conference. Very important.
Very, very professional. You're an important person.
Hey, with all the money you're saving on Blue Chew, you can spend it on talking at us. Get in your super chats and your humper chats to talk about tonight's episode of Raw. Head over to Fightful Select and see a drama that CM Punk started. Well, was involved in.
So this leads later in the night, almost at the end of the night, to Rhea Ripley doing an in-ring promo with Dominic by her side. And thank God, did he have laryngitis? This whole Dominic not talking thing is a great addition to Raw. That's awesome. Can he also do that on NXT and SmackDown as well? The promo is fine. You know, she's talking about Raquel Rodriguez and how she's not going to beat her on Saturday on Payback. It's kind of how that usually goes. And then Raquel Rodriguez comes out, and there is a bit of a tiff, bit of a back and forth, bit of a fist tiff? Cups. Yeah. Well, that tiff came later. Well, earlier, but whatever. We'll talk about it later. it's some fisticuffs, a little brouhaha, little Donnybrook. She thwarts a Riptide by just hip tossing her out of it, which shows her strength. And she stands tall. So here we go. We finally have something for Rhea to do that feels like a challenge, because what is it that she's wrestled for a total of 35 minutes over like
since Mania,
seven matches since Mania for a total of 34 minutes and 42 seconds, something like that. It's nuts how little they've had her wrestle. And now they finally have somebody who she doesn't just walk through.
So it's a little bit tricky too, because it does seem like she was banged up for part of that. And I also completely understand the temptation of making Rhea Ripley squash a bunch of people, because she's just that girl. Why she really is. So that much I get, but it hasn't led to any real story. She had that one really good match with Natty. She's been killing it in NXT, like really fun mm-hmm. stuff with Lyra.
Yeah.
Bacteria. Finally, we've got some meat on the bone here on the main roster with Raquel. I'm going to say one of the nerdiest things I've ever said. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I say a lot of nerdy things, Alex. You okay. know this. Right. We do a lot of shows together.
I know. Okay? Yeah.
The hip toss, wildly underrated. The hip toss gets you out of a lot of jams in a wrestling match.
It should.
Match.
Yeah.
It's a really, really great move. I love, like, Ricky Starks uses it as a transitional move a lot really well. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like more people should be hip tossing, okay? More hip tosses, less roll-ups, and I'm a happy girl. Right. I loved Raquel being able to thwart the Riptide and looking like, hey, I can thwart the Riptide. Like, she looks like, you said, an actual challenge for Rhea Ripley. And that is something that is harder to build than kind of should be in some ways. But having Rhea stay dominant while also giving her a viable challenge is a fine line to walk. They found that with Raquel. I think that's really good.
Yep.
Wasn't the strongest segment in the world, but I don't feel like needed to be. Like, the story can kind of just be who these women are and meeting up here. And that works for me. That works for me for Payback. So really, really good stuff. I'll take it. I'm very excited to see Rhea Ripley wrestle on a pay-per-view again. I certainly have my complaints about how the women were booked on SummerSlam. Happy to see this taking front and center. Also had quite a few complaints about how the women were booked in AEW land. So, knock it off, tribalistic weirdos. I complain about everyone.
That's true. That's true.
We are complainer here.
We are equal opportunity complainers. Yes.
It's true.
This is true. there's your women's title match set up for Payback. Unless they throw something together on Friday, nothing for EO, which I just feel like there was something there considering how she got the title. There's three women who should all be pissed at her. And wanting that title immediately. And she should face each of them in turn. And the first one should happen at the first pay-per-view. And the first one should be Asuka. I'm just going to say it. Why are we not getting EO versus Asuka at Payback? I mean, maybe they throw something together on Friday. That's possible. Maybe they were planning on doing something like that this past Friday. But all of
very possible. The
extra things that they did there for Bray and Terry Funk made that impossible. But I would love to have been able to see three women's matches on the payback card, including two title matches, would have been excellent. Yeah.
I also wonder, you know, we've heard the name Kairi floating around a little bit. Mm-hmm. They might snap together a mystery thing if she is available and signed and ready to go. I think there'd be a lot of excitement in an otherwise kind of stale picture right now, which is crazy because the talent in this picture is fantastic. Like, you're not going to get a better top three or four wrestlers than you have Io Sky, Asuka, Charlotte Flair, and Bianca Belair. My God, like an embarrassment of riches. And Bayley's hanging out right there, right?
Right.
So it's not the caliber of the women involved. It's that the storytelling hasn't really worked. So I am intrigued to see what, if anything, happens. It feels almost like it might end up being more of like a tag match situation or something. Like, I don't know. I'd imagine Io's wrestling, but I would prefer a title offense with the story in it. But that's me.
Yes. Me as well. Okay. So I'm going to bundle all of the Drew and Riddle stuff together. So that means the next thing is the thing that made you almost fall in love with The Miz.
Okay. We'll skip the Riddle stuff, bro.
Yeah. We'll talk about my great, awesome design for our trunks later. First we're going to talk about,
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Miz. LA Knights music hits and the crowd leaps to its feet. This dude's stupid over. Like, he's just like the kind of idea that nobody thought they were going to get LA Knight tonight. And all of a sudden his music hits and like they have a shot of the crowd and the entire crowd goes, yay! Like that kind of immediate, like lizard brain reaction. Like, you don't have time to like think, hey, whose music is that? Oh, LA Knight. Hey, I like that guy. I might as well stand up. No, everyone leaps to their feet. Children, women, men, old people, people in wheelchairs leap to their feet. That's how over LA Knight is.
Right there, I gotta say, like, this is why this works for me, is I feel like a lot of times they do this with someone who isn't white hot instant as soon as their music hits over. Mm-hmm. And he is. So, like, the ultimate heel move is to just simply not be that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really good stuff. When you do this right, and I loved the segment from The Miz for a lot of reasons, but that alone I bought in on because they actually did it right. Like, this segment, this idea, we've seen The Miz do it before. We've seen people do this all the time. Punk did it with Hardy, and that worked because everybody loves the Hardy's entrance, right? Like, you have to pick your and choose your spots with it. And right now, you're right. It's like, as soon as LA Knight's music hits, everybody pops. So what's the biggest thing in the world that you can do to be a heel? Not be that person. Beautiful. Off the bat, I'm in on this. Love it.
Yep. It was great that the crowd didn't realize it wasn't him until he got like 7/8 of the way down the ramp, because he was even doing the walk so well.
Yes.
Full cosplay. And then he gets in the ring and he's doing the whole shtick. He's got the cadence down. He's got the timbre of his voice down. He's got all of his catchphrases. Honestly, as a guy who makes a living doing bad impressions every Tuesday, this is a pretty good bad impression. Like it's not letter perfect, but he's got all the things you need to do to make a passable one. That it's gonna fall apart if he tries to do it for an hour, but it's pretty good if he's just doing it for 2 or 3 minutes, which he was. Honestly, good job. I did not think The Miz had this in him. Good for him.
I also really liked the content of it, because I loved him basically taking the criticism. I like when people use outside criticisms from the real world and pull them in. So him making all of these Stone Cold references and Rock references and all of these things, like, I loved that he did that, because the story to this point has also been that LA Knight is not magic. He is repeatable. And The Miz's assertion has kind of been, he's a knockoff version of me a little bit. And so him pulling in all those other things, I thought was really, really well done here. Also loved Wade Barrett just having the LA Knight glasses on. Like, LA Wade Barrett being so in on LA Knight, I actually really love.
Yeah.
I thought...
Wade Barrett going, I want my money back. And Michael Cole going, we pay you to be here. Someone should give me money for having to watch The Miz. That was good stuff.
Immediate lift since they switched commentary to. It makes such a big difference. It feels way less like watching biology homework when you have a really good announce team. They're a good announce team. I'll take it. And before The Miz even reveals himself to be The Miz and not LA Knight, which I also really liked what he had to say after, I was like very happy, because this is what The Miz is the best at, of what he does. And LA Knight is white hot and doing what he does the best. And so when wrestling gets to pull that out of both of their performers, really great stuff happens. Miz has looked better in the ring in the more recent matches. And like, the most value that he's providing at this stage of his career, with how often he's working and what he's capable of in the ring and on the mic, like, this is the maximum value you're getting from The Miz. And I think it's great. Like, this is so in his wheelhouse. This is a really good, I still think there's so much more you could be doing with LA Knight and a mid-card picture, having him win Money in the Bank, all those things I still think are true. But if you are going to forego those things and you just want a mid-card feud right now that is sans title, this is a really good one. I really liked this. And then I like what Miz had to say after he kind of revealed himself not to be LA Knight, which it would have taken me, if I was in the cheap seats, a while to realize, like, that guy is not LA Knight until he started dripping in sarcasm.
His deal of it's so easy to be this guy, and you cheering me pretending to be this guy, you can't even tell the difference of what is fake and what is real. You'll cheer for anything, which means your cheers for him mean nothing. Like, this, his whole thing. And I was like, okay, well, here, hold on, Miz. Yes, they will cheer for anything, which has been my complaint the past several years, that they will literally cheer for anything. And so we have no idea what's good and what isn't until LA Knight came along, because this feels different. It does. It doesn't feel like, oh, we're cheering because we're happy to be at WWE and it's fun and my kids are having fun. We're cheering. Like, the immediate impulse of leaping to your feet when a guy's music hits, that's different. That's a really different kind of thing, where the entire crowd is absolutely in on this guy. So I think his sentiment is right overall with this guy. I think he got it wrong. But I like that he's bringing this to the foreground. This is his basic... His whole thing is jealousy. He's never going to get to be as over as this guy. And to him, he feels like, what has this guy got that I haven't got? And so it's honestly, it makes perfect sense. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the only thing I don't love about what he said, and it might have been intentional, like it might have been to evoke this response in me. So if it was, great. If not, it feels like just a little bit of a swing and a miss. Was he said he didn't need a catchphrase. He used the phrase like he didn't need a catchphrase. And then he kind of went in the direction of, when I say I'm awesome, it's because I actually am. But when I think of The Miz, one of the first things I think of is, when my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut. So that just felt like that guy had a catchphrase and it actually worked for him really well for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't love that they called out that specific piece of it. But at the same time, The Miz might have been doing that to evoke exactly what I just said of just like, right. I didn't need a catchphrase. And you're supposed to say that because that's what good heels do sometimes. So right. that was my only kind of complaint. But overall, I felt like this was really a home run. And I'm glad to see The Miz doing what he does best right here.
This felt to me like such an obvious spot to do the guy shows up and attacks you for, and I was kind of surprised and maybe a little disappointed that LA Knight wasn't actually there to do that. So, yeah, that was interesting. Luis also saying that, Wade wearing LA Knight's branded glasses had me howling.
It was so good. I don't know why I like didn't expect it. I also feel like because he didn't even slightly acknowledge that he was wearing them, it killed mm-hmm. it. Like,
yeah.
Just crushed. Like,
yep, yeah,
it was good stuff.
Speaking of people who weren't there, Kim Gray says, "I'm glad we didn't make the hour and a half drive to Memphis for that show." Woof. I know you hate Cody, but where was Cody? I do hate Cody, but. He was on the rundown that Sean published on Fightful Select. If you would like to spend the $5 for Fightful Select, not only will you get the two of us having a blast talking about pay-per-views and whatnot, but also Sean will tell you what's going to happen on Raw, so you can know if you need to tune in or not. But he was listed. Cody Rhodes' in-ring segment was listed, and he wasn't on the show. And I don't know, because last week he had the backstage interview that became like an on the ramp segment.
Yes.
And then he was like, I changed into my clothes to run down and help Sammy and Kevin, a match that he did. And for payback, he doesn't have a match. He's got an interview segment. So But here was my thing. My thing for the longest time with Brock Lesnar was, okay, great. He's going to beat Brock Lesnar in the rubber match. And then what do you got for Cody? And the answer is apparently nothing. Not really anything, so, much of anything at all.
Yeah, it is weird. It does feel a little lost. Whether or not, like, we've loved everything that came along with this Cody story and package, he's been featured a lot. So there's a couple things in play. One, you just never know if anybody's working injured or whatever. Two, we learned from the AEW side that Bray's funeral, Wyndham's funeral, is Wednesday. So I'm wondering if everybody's kind of making exceptions for travel. I know today's Monday, but like maybe people are trying to have some grace around what sure. those arrangements might look like. But you're mm-hmm. right in that he was listed for the rundown already. I don't know where people are in the world. If Cody went to support a friend in the UK, he might not have been back. I don't know. No. I doubt he would have been there. But just like, there's complications that might have kept him from being there. But him being mm-hmm. on the rundown and not doing anything is a little suspicious. However, it's more weird that it doesn't seem like there's a plan with him going into payback. It does make me wonder if maybe that's who Kevin and Sammy call on for their Judgment Day.
Mm,
for their Steel City.
He has been heavily involved in Judgment Day stuff. So,
yeah. Oh, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it would. So we have here Meet Normus as 27-month member of the Fightful main roster here on YouTube. Thank you so much, Meat Dormus. Sup, partners? What's more dangerous, NXT parking lot or backstage of AEW when CM Punk hasn't had a muffin today? Also, hello to the Linda and the Sheila.
Hello, Meat. How are you?
Wow.
There are people here who don't know what this is, but honestly, I'm not going to tell them. Hello, Meat Normus. You know, you're my favorite kind of meat is the Normus kind. And so anyway, hello. It's good to see you. I think that the NXT parking lot is more dangerous because you never know who's at fault. People just wind up being hit over the head with lead pipes or run over by cars, but you never know who did it until months later. They got to do a whole investigation. Everybody knows what happens backstage because there's so many witnesses. Maybe don't do it right in front of your boss. It's probably a bad idea. That's all I'm going to say.
I will say, too, I think you know what you're getting into with CM Punk at this point. I feel like in the NXT parking lot, you might get kidnapped.
Yep.
You might get beat up. You might get murdered if you're pretty deadly. And then you have to swim up to shore. It's like a whole thing. Yep. So
yeah.
I vote the parking lot. But let me tell you, if CM Punk's in the parking lot.
Yeah. No.
Bad news. I just got in a fight with CM Punk right now.
Wow.
That was quick. You guys didn't know. But like.
No. Yeah. It happens. It happens so often.
Yeah.
Cody is scheduled for a sit down interview with Grayson Waller for Payback. Scintillating. We will see. Perhaps that will turn into a match.
I would dollars to donuts. That especially if they're trying to set something up with Cena, and since Cody's basically taking the Cena role.
Michael Luna says this may have been addressed already. It has not. Alex, do you still hate friendship? Apparently I do, because nothing's going to make me happier when Drew turns on Matt Riddle. That's going to be great. So the way this starts is Tozawa, who is going to get to be, he's going to get to be a real wrestler for a few weeks, because he's in that NXT Heritage Cup tournament. They're going to do a round robin thing. He'll probably lose all of his matches, but they're going to be really good matches. So he's going to get to be a wrestler down there. That'll be fun. But he's looking at a picture of Drew, and he goes, "You look great." And then he runs away with a bad look on his face. Apparently, Riddle photoshopped bro trunks of a lime green color.
He sure onto
Drew McIntyre.
I was just thinking that all the great tag teams have matching gear. So what do you think about these trunks? Or we could get matching kilts.
Drew is just about done with Matt Riddle, as am I, which is why I can't wait for him to turn on Matt Riddle. But Matt Riddle convinces him to sit at ringside for the big New Day versus Viking Raiders match. Which they do. And the match is really, 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 really good. It's long. It's like a 17-minute non-title, meaningless tag match. And, man, it's really good stuff. It's really fun to see the New Day back together in wrestling and, like, getting a chance to really go at it again. It feels like whenever one of them gets injured, it feels like such a long time. But like, oh, hey, this guy's healthy. The other guy's injured, though. Better take them all off TV. I'm like, I really like Kofi and Woods together. And this match felt War Raiders-y.
It did.
I mean, the face paint notwithstanding. Michael Cole yelling about how Valhalla is wearing antlers when she's clearly wearing an antelope skull, which has horns and not antlers. So they're just, you know, quibbles. But the match was excellent. Kofi Kingston taking a beating throughout, finally getting a tag to Xavier Woods. I guess, like, probably about 16 minutes into this thing, Ivar does like a spine buster to Kofi into both Drew and Matt Riddle. And I was like, well, there you go. You wasted 16 minutes having a great match. This is going to end in a DQ. And people who don't watch my normal shows, I hate bad finishes. I don't like them. I want to see clean finishes all the time. At least give me a real finish in the ring. And I thought to myself, well, this is going to be obvious DQ. Honestly, I have to go back and watch the ref and see where the ref's head was. Because Drew stands up from the rubble of this thing that's happened. And he just chucks a chair all the way across the ring to the other side, picks up the other chair, and flings it, I guess, in the direction of Eric, but right into the face of Xavier Woods, which is a disqualification. But nope, I guess the ref didn't see it, so they didn't call it. So instead, they do their big double-team move to pin Kofi Kingston. And I was like, well, at least you got a decent pinfall out of this obvious setup for a disqualification thing. And the match was really good, other than the little at the end. So I'll give it a pass. Because this was a lot of fun. We got to see vintage Viking Raiders and New Day have a really cool little clash here. This is great. You know, I love tag team wrestling, so this is up my alley. I liked it a lot.
So for the most part, I agree with you. I will just pick a couple more little nits in that we've just seen it before, and that seems to be a habitual pattern with the New Day where they kind of run rematches into the ground. They did it with the Usos. Yep. We're starting to see that here with the Viking Raiders. It's the same problem as with the Usos, though, where every time they're in the ring together, I'm like, damn, this is really good. So champagne problem, right? Like they always show me something different. They always show me something new. It's a different story kind of every time. They're really, really good at it. So I can't fully complain about it, but I do worry about rematch fatigue. It's really hard with a 3-hour show. But I will also say, kind of since it feels like Vince maybe re-exited the picture, maybe, whatever, of recent, it seems like match quality on Raw has gone way up from, like, time perspective, from, like, we got Gable and Gunther. We've gotten Gable versus the other Imperium guys. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not stuff we were getting before. Pacing is a lot better with this new commentary team, too. It helps so much for my viewing experience. So just things like that. I don't want to get too rematch heavy, but these guys put on a really, really great match tonight. And what's kind of funny is for the first time in a really long time, I got to say, it feels like NXT and the main roster are very aligned and that my complaints tend to be very similar, which is both good and bad, I think. But Triple H could lay off the distracted and DQ finishes for a little bit. Like, we could get away from those and just have some clean wins and losses. But the in-ring getting kicked up a notch is great. And I feel like I've been catching myself saying that on our NXT shows too a lot of like, wow, I feel like the in-ring is always good, but we're getting even better. But I don't like the booking and the finishes a lot of the time. So agreed with you wholeheartedly and also agree with you on Drew McIntyre. Like, Drew will not be a heel in my brain. Like, he will be a face in my brain. I cannot wait for him to turn on Matt Riddle. Part of it is because I don't really have an interest in Matt Riddle. Part of it's because I have a huge interest in Drew, but I feel like from a character perspective, Drew really needs this. Well, it's going to be really refreshing to the roster.
We need another heel of that caliber.
Agreed.
Because as we're finding out, there's really nothing for Cody to do unless he's doing stuff with the Judgment Day, and like they're spread pretty thin. Honestly, the Judgment Day is doing stuff with Sammy and Cody. They shouldn't be doing it with Sammy and KO. Shouldn't be also doing stuff with Cody. So you gotta it also feels like you got Gunther and Imperium. Well, they're doing something right now. Like you have more high quality baby faces who are just without titles, who are just hanging out, than you do heels. So it's a really good idea to make him a heel. I think he's the kind of guy that you can keep Cody busy with for a while. I'm not sure that's the route they'll take, but it feels like it's a good way to like keep him busy until he wins the Royal Rumble again this year. Bizarro Big L says, I don't know what I should be more offended at. No clip of Jericho during the Bob Barker segment. The Viking Raiders in the whole tag division feeling like a joke, or someone implying that there is a better European uppercut than Claudio? Jagoffs, I say. Tonight the tag division felt at least the undercard of it feels very strong. Tonight, like the New Day and Viking Raiders match was pay-per-view quality, pay-per-view length, certainly. Those are two teams that you could just say, oh, well, we're going to heat them up and put them in a title match immediately. And if you actually book them right, and hey, the Viking Raiders got a big win. They really needed that win. That's good.
Very much so.
There are other people that again, I would prefer if you did it over, let's say, 3 weeks. But if you heat up a team, they can be right in position to be a top contender. And it does feel like these tag matches are getting more time and room to shine. So I'm in it. I agree like that.
From the sense that it's without stakes. Like it doesn't. We're getting really high quality matches. We're getting a lot of length of time, mm-hmm. but wins and losses still aren't meaning anything. So I don't feel like it's a joke, but I do feel like it's still a little bit directionless and that you're right. Mm-hmm. And you can heat any of them up at any time, but they're kind of 50-50 right now. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see some better organization within it. I think the New Day coming back is a huge shot in the arm from a quality perspective.
Yep.
Give me DIY back. Treating Ludwig and Giovanni Vinci. I always want to call him Fakie and Eichner because of you. I both mm-hmm. thank you and blame you mm-hmm. for that. I feel like you got some real deal tag teams that can feel very menacing at any point and very high caliber, but they do need to arrange the chessboard pieces a little bit with that tag division for sure. Mm-hmm.
Later, Kofi is coming out of the trainer's room, and Riddle's like, "How's Woods?" Well, he got a chair thrown in his face, but he's gonna be fine. And Drew's like, "I'm sorry, mate. I didn't mean to throw the chair. I was obviously throwing it at Eric." Yeah, no, it's true. We know. Well, Woods knows. It was a mistake. And then Drew's like, "I'm gonna go find Adam Pearce. And I'm going to get us put in a match. Then I'm going to beat up the Viking Raiders. I don't want to have to tag in." Kofi's like, "What does he mean, not tag in?" I'm like, "Kofi, you're part of the greatest tag team in history. You should know what kind of tag matches there are where you don't have to tag in." So it's a tornado tag. They've made a tornado tag for next week. That'll be good. I think that match will be a very, very good match. And I hope at the end of it, as I hope at the end of every match, that Drew turns on Matt Riddle.
It does feel like it's getting closer. And it does feel like, I don't know, I want it to happen as well, but it does feel like it's building, which I like. Like Drew is really good at telling the story of he's always good at this. Of it being like a little bit more gradual. Like it feels very organic to who he is and his character. I'm also just really excited to see Drew be heel with his physicality. Like his mm-hmm. moveset and how physical he is in the ring is so great. And it's really fun as a face, but as a heel, I feel like he can go almost, not to pull like the easy example, but like the Samoa Joe route of like, let me show you how much of a monster I am, but I'm going to show you and not tell you constantly, just be really menacing. So I'm looking forward to that for Drew. I think it'll be really good for his character.
Yes. we got the same tribute videos that we saw for Terry and Bray on Friday. We saw them again tonight. After the Bray thing, they played part of his original theme and showed the rocking chair. This was good. These video packages were excellent. And they also did a tribute to Bob Barker. which I did not think they were. I didn't think they were going to do, and it was good for them. Yes, there was no clip of Chris Jericho and Bob Barker. Chris Jericho seems to think it's just WWE pettiness. He said so on Twitter, on X. But yeah, it's
the tribute packages are great. I talked about it on Thursday and not on Friday because I was in the air on a plane. But that was the second time this year that that happened, where somebody died unexpectedly, extremely young, in circumstances beyond their control. And then 2 hours later, I was doing a podcast about it. And what it happened to the Pugh family and Jay Briscoe, I was like, man, hope I don't ever have to do that again. Not to make it about myself, but... Mm. To then 7 months later be in that same scenario and such just a devastating thing, and a similar thing too, right? This man had 4 kids, family. It just, my heart aches for Bray Wyatt fans. My heart is broken for his family. I just keep thinking about them, and I keep thinking about Eric Rowan. How messed up the world must be through his eyes, thinking about things with him and of course Brody. So it was the video packages are incredible. I think these teams don't always get enough credit for the fact that they pull these things together in such a short time period, and not only do an incredible job of evoking those emotions with us, but like there you have to go through like a decade and a half of footage or whatever just to whittle it down to these moments. And then on top of that, like, I'm sure they're going through all those emotions and on like this deadline to finish the video by and all these things. So I think it just, they've gotten a lot of tribute shows very right. And they deserve a lot of credit because there's a lot of human stuff that we don't consider in that. And that's an entire grieving roster of people who all have to handle this different ways, pulling those video productions together. I thought LA Knight did a fantastic job of being in one world and out the other on Friday. So that's just kind of my piece on it. I didn't really get to say on Friday and Thursday. It was all so raw. But these video packages are just fantastic, and their production team deserves a lot of credit. And I felt like it was handled with a ton of class on Friday from what I saw. Just really, really, really well done. So condolences to the family, of course. And we'll miss him. There is no one more unrepeatable than that guy, for sure.
We got to see some tributes tonight as well. People wearing armbands, putting in some Bray terminology into promos and stuff. It was very nice. We got a promo from Gunther before Chad Gable interrupted him. Both of this is good. Pay-per-view match.
Yes. Feels like we're headed that way.
Why not? Why are we not doing it? We're doing it on Raw the 2 days after the pay-per-view. Is it a written rule now that if the US title is defended on pay-per-view, the Intercontinental title cannot be defended on the same pay-per-view? I wanted this on pay-per-view. Chad Gable deserved a pay-per-view like this. I do believe that Gunther and Gable now, I think Gunther will retain, but I think this is like a absolute contender to be like Gable's greatest match ever type of thing. And I mean I guess pay-per-view isn't the same thing as it used to be, but I kind of wanted this to be on the bigger stage. But they're doing it next week.
I'm also not convinced they don't do both, or that they don't have it be shenanigans on Raw and
you're right,
because it's called Payback. That's my thing.
Well, yeah, the pay-per-view is Saturday, and the Raw coming is
Oh, duh, that's right.
I think they might do a thing where Gunther wins via shenanigans this coming Raw, and then they'll do it at Fastlane in October. Like, they'll just keep this whole thing going.
When's the Saudi Arabia show?
November 4th, 5th, okay, something so like
they're
that.
Not, they're not going to extend it that far. Okay. Yeah.
I hope they give them as much time as they want, and let it be whatever it is. I would not say no to an Iron Man match, but then again, there's no chance you actually have Gunther take multiple pinfalls in a match where he doesn't get pinned. So perhaps, I don't know. I thought this also Gable versus Ludwig Kaiser is great. They're finally letting,
Imperium Russell,
Marcel Bartel, Axel Dieter, that stupid
Ludwig
name.
Kaiser.
What are hey Vince, what are the two most famous Germans whose name aren't Adolf Hitler? Ludwig von Beethoven and Kaiser Wilhelm II. There we go. That's it.
I mean,
I've always hated that name since the beginning. It is dumb, but that wrestler's not dumb. He's great, and they're finally letting him like show it. They're actually having Wade Barrett put him over as like, this guy is the next top like main event talent. So they don't let people just say that unless they're like trying to convince you at home that this is something that might happen down the line. He is excellent. I just love the way he moves in the ring. He's great. And Gable's amazing, and I'm really looking forward to him versus Gunther. This got 17, 18 minutes as well.
Yeah, really nice to see.
Long one. And then they did Chaos Theory and Giovanni Vinci, Fakey and Eichner. Sliding in to break up the pinfall. It is, last week it did feel like that Fakey and Eichner was getting the match tonight. Way that Marcel Bartel was like, so what are you going to do to salvage the honor of our fallen hero Gunther? And apparently what he's going to do is to break up a pinfall. He didn't really get to do much.
Yeah.
But the match was great. I would love to see, and I honestly feel like there was an opportunity to do it before as well, but they don't need to be two friggin' tag titles tied up with one tag team. They just don't. It was fine when it was the Usos thing, but like, if you have two sets of belts, then two sets of belts. And one team, like, you could have, I don't know, man. I think Imperium is a great team that should have the titles. And I don't know when, but it would suck if they had the titles after Gunther lost his.
Yeah, that's the problem, yeah. Is it feels like you have the opportunity to almost do on a mid-card level what you were doing with the Bloodline, where it was like this dominant force of these three guys. Yeah. Not in the same way where it feels like they're so in each other's shit all the time, but like in a way that it's, here is this presence on the show. There's a lot of good stuff happening in this tag division. I know we talked about before, like having to arrange the pieces, but New Day, Imperium, assuming DIY is ever coming back. It feels like both tag divisions, especially with the Street Profits being kind of reinvented on SmackDown, like, it feels like there's enough weight in each tag division that you could split them again. That's my preference as well. I think Sammy and KO can fight whoever, but the problem is you've also had these unified titles and there haven't been a ton of stories where they're not supporting cast members. It's basically just been them and like Pretty Deadly, not a ton else. So if they're going to be unified, you got to build. And I know there's been injuries and all sorts of things in that too, but nice to see the tag division coming alive a little bit. Hopefully we get some organization within that, but loved this match. For me, Ludwig Kaiser has the in-ring story, facial expressions and movements. And I love all that. And to me, Giovanni Vinci is like, in-ring extraordinaire guy. And with those two guys paired with someone like Gunther, that's a really, really fun trio. Like, all three of them bring something different to the picture. And I love that. I love that so much. Not just because he's dating Tiffany Stratton in real life.
Right. True. So afterwards, Gunther and his cohorts beat the hell out of Chad Gable. So we'll see what they do on how they handle it on Monday. Yeah, there's no way they're going to have Gunther lose before he breaks the record. We'll see where that thing goes. But yeah,
I wouldn't have even hated this DQ finish if we didn't have other shenanigans on the show. Because this one actually kind of made sense with the story. That's usually my complaint with DQ finishes, is they don't make sense with the story. This actually served a bigger purpose and extends us from the math of like who's going over kind of for another week. But they did too much other shenanigans on the show for me to like it. So now I hate it.
I always say that if you just do DQ finish after DQ finish after DQ finish, the ones where it makes sense suck.
You know what I always say, Alex?
What?
It's an old, it's passed down in my family from my dad's side of the family, generations. My grandparents came over and they always said that NordVPN is the most versatile VPN out there.
There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Just like Pappy used to say.
That was very professional of you.
Well, Alex, if I'm anything, it's a professional.
That's right. So earlier in the night, we saw Seth Rollins just staring off into the middle distance, and then Ricochet like strolled by him and like, sup? And he just kept walking. It was very odd. But he comes out. Everyone sings his song, as is custom. And then he's like, hey, Nakamura, come on out. Let's do this. I'm calling you out, boy. And you won't. It's like, come on, why are you depriving all these people of being able to sing your song? Oh, wait, they don't sing your song anymore. They sing my song. Then we get a video package interruption, which is one of the coolest things that I've ever seen in WWE. This is like, it's him training, hitting the heavy bag. And again, why did it take you guys 6 years to figure out? Just have Shinsuke say awesome, cool, badass shit in Japanese with subtitles. Because it's exactly how they should have been promoting this guy from the very beginning. This is awesome. He's like, I don't just want to beat Seth Rollins for his championship. I want to break the man, Seth Rollins. And again, I don't really even know why he has a problem with Seth Rollins, honestly. I don't care. Because he's like, I want his wife to know that I am the reason why she has to help him get out of bed in the morning. That is some dark stuff. Like, this is great. Ah, this was so so good. And when it's finally over, this was a nice, good, really long, cool vignette. And it comes back to Seth, and he just like very slowly takes off the sunglasses, which is how you know he's upset. And he's like, all right, this is how you want to do it. A video package. All right, fine. You don't want to come out? Fine. Then me and everyone here are going to go down to all the bars on Beale Street, and we're going to have drinks, and everyone's going to sing my song. And then Shinsuke Hamburger does come out. And he does a Kinshasa to his back. He puts him in a little chokehold, and he says, I told you last week to watch your back. And then he kicks him in the face. He walks away. This is the best Nakamura we've seen since New Japan, period. And I would not hate it at all if he beat Seth Rollins on Saturday.
I'm starting to bite.
That would be really good. Fine. Why not? I don't care. Yes. Have Seth chase to try and get it back. Like, honestly, sure. Like it's a much better story of like this guy honestly had the right idea. This is what I'm going to do to incapacitate you and take your title. And he becomes the mountain now that Seth Rollins has to climb to get that back. There's what else are you going to do with Seth Rollins? I much prefer this extending the story rather than Seth somehow eking out a win. And then we're going to do the same thing next pay-per-view where Shinsuke gets his rematch because Seth like rolled him up when he could barely walk. No. Have Shin win on Saturday. Then if you're going to do a rematch, have Seth have to like get cleared before he can come back. Win a number one contenders match with somebody. Like, he needs to beat Shin, and Shin is unbeatable. That's some good stuff.
I feel like, and this is just vibes, so don't read anything into it. It feels like Seth kind of has like that extra reverence for Shinsuke that you just see kind of get kicked into gear sometimes. Mm-hmm. I loved him calling up. He said, I want the Shinsuke that main evented the Tokyo Dome. I wanted the Shinsuke that came here and lit up NXT. This is the closest thing that we've had to that in a really, really long time. Almost in the same way, it seems like Becky has like this reverence for Asuka. Like, and it feels like Seth has that for Shinsuke. I love this version of Shinsuke. I'm a big Shinsuke gal. It feels like, feels like all the things that they've had like around the edges of this guy are now being followed through on in this presentation of him. They got the entrance back. They got some of the like killer attitude back. Like we're in Shinsuke wheelhouse of old, and it's Shinsuke wheelhouse of him. Like it's really, really, really refreshing to see. I can't believe how quickly it kind of came together. This has only been 3 weeks, and it feels very authentic and great. And What I've always wanted for this guy, and I feel like Seth is gonna know how to work with him to put on something really, really special. I hope it's a trilogy of matches. I think I've said multiple times, nobody does trilogies better than Seth Rollins in wrestling. Like that guy has made the art of every match has a different story, but there are there's these cohesive tissues that are connecting all three of them together. Nobody does it as well as that guy. Nobody. So really, really love this. And God, it's just amazing how quickly they made Shinsuke Nakamura feel like just a killer. Just there to hurt people. Love it. Love, love, love this like return for Shinsuke. Even the segment, which was very obvious what was coming, right? It's like as soon as he interrupted with the video package, I was like, he's gonna come in and choke him out. Good stuff. Must have used real glass instead of fake glass.
It's true. He's really, really, really pissed off Shin something fierce.
Yeah,
everyone mentioning is true that Seth was out there with the Fiend side plates on the belt. It was a really nice touch.
Yes, it was.
So we got Tommaso Ciampa versus Bronson Reed. And it's a rough one. Because I do think that Bronson Reed, with a sustained push, can be a major force in WWE. and they simply do not want to give him that sustained push. And I also don't want Tommaso Ciampa losing because I want, or do I? Because if he can't do it himself, he needs to do it yourself. Get it? And yeah, so that was that's kind of what I thought they were going to do here. Like have him lose again. And the fact that he needs his buddy to back him up, to like do something together. Maybe that's it. But instead, we got this really good match, hard hitting, and a lot of fun. Bronson's just a beast, and Tommaso Ciampa, when he's at his best, will not be beaten. And I think this was excellent. But somebody asked, have we even gotten Wade Barrett being able to say "Tsunami" since he came over from SmackDown? No, we haven't.
We haven't.
Because Bronson Reed hasn't won a match since then. And it's been like months, like 6 weeks. Like, no, we got to get Bronson Reed some victories, if only so we can get Wade Barrett saying that.
Yeah, I liked a lot of this match. I did not love the finish.
The finish was supposed to be clean. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was a crucifix bomb
that
honestly, Bronson got bombed too hard and over rotated and
that's what
like,
it, okay.
sit back on his, that was, it is honestly Tommaso Ciampa like threw all of his weight into that crucifix bomb and Bronson Reed kept going. So he flipped over onto his stomach almost. It was like not the cleanest finish
down the hill,
but I liked the idea.
I liked the idea too. The execution got a little bit funky. I really liked a lot of this. Tommaso Ciampa is just so versatile. He's really incredible at working anybody of any style and size and making it feel very grounded and believable because he performs at such a high level of his style. Where the hell's Johnny Gargano?
I don't know. That's the deal that Tommaso Ciampa's doing on social media, trying to find Johnny Gargano. He's not here.
Listen, all of you out there in the world, somebody has got a connection somewhere, all right? Put Jonathan Thomas Gargano. I don't know if that's his middle name. I made it up. I'm going to need Jonathan Thomas Gargano II. Also added the suffix, not real. Send in your super chats with Johnny Gargano's full name. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need you to go ahead and put one of the best wrestlers in the world back on the old screen, okay? Because you told me you were going to do it several times. And I need it. And you need it more than you even realize. Your heart needs it. Because your heart is rebellious. And it's a rebel heart. And Jonathan Thomas Gargano II Esquire should be back in the wrestling ring. That's his name. Back to you.
Johnny missing.
Sad.
It is sad. I would like him back as well. So there's that. So we got Tiffany Stratton in the crowd.
Yes, we did.
She was there. They're doing a fatal four-way to determine her next challenger.
Watch on NXT tomorrow.
And then she was there to watch the challenger that she's going to have after that, because I'm convinced that Becky Lynch is going to challenge Tiffany Stratton for the NXT title. I think it's very possible she doesn't have that match until what do they call it? Deadline in December. But I think that might be your co-headliner for that particular little PLE. That
so
would
for those
be
of
awesome.
You who don't watch NXT, Tiffany Stratton made an error in a promo and referred to Becky Lynch as a former NXT champion. She later corrected herself in the same episode, because Twitter was like, she's not a former NXT champion, but Becky leaned into it. So here's hoping for that. And I said on Tuesday, and I'll say it again, I would accidentally mention so many people. I would accidentally be mentioning Charlotte Flair and Bianca Belair and Asuka and whoever. So
So she was there to watch Becky Lynch versus Zoe Stark. Wrestling with Movies says a main event that didn't have anything to do with the Judgment Day, and it kicked all of the ass, and was a women's match that went 20 minutes. What a W. Becky will give 100% effort all the damn time. And the Bray armband at the end. Love the match, Bray forever. Yeah, she put that on at the end. And Wrestling Movie says, I'm all for Becky versus Tiffany. If that is Becky's direction after this, Trish stuff. Yes, because basically that is also Becky's outlook on this. This is a bunch of Trish stuff. She's kind of done with this and wants to move on from it. It would be complete opposite of the Trish feud. This would, because instead of like Becky being the, she'd be the great veteran. Becky were to win the title and lose to Roxy, great. If she puts over Tiffany, also great. There's a lot of really cool stuff you could do with this as well. But the match was a lot of fun, even though Becky is dumb. Because, like, do you not have a friend, Becky? Like, a friend? Because it was just a two-on-one match. Like Trish at one point just starts hitting her with a kendo stick. And I was like, well, I guess that's fine. I guess it's a false count anywhere. Anything can happen. So she just has to fight her off at some point. At one point, she like hits her with a kendo stick so much that she has to run backstage. And we think, okay, finally, now it's back to being one-on-one. And it's not. She comes out later. But the best part of the whole match, Kate, is Trish Stratus throwing chairs into the ring so that Zoe Stark can use them. But Zoe turns around and catches one in the face and almost starts corpsing. They could tell like it didn't really hurt her in the moment, but like she goes, like she wanted to start laughing. And I was like, this is great. That was an awesome moment. And Trish was like, oh. And I thought if that was awesome. And she just keeps throwing chairs and narrowly missing Zoe. And Wade's like, Trish, what are you doing? It was great. It was fun. This was a really good, brutal, like, weapons match. It was really fun. Cool spots. I really love Zoe countering the disarmer by just like reaching down and sweeping Becky's legs with her off arm. That was cool. This was some good stuff. And it comes down to at the end, just Trish is back out there again. And every time she was like, I'm gonna do a manhandle slam to you through this table, the other one was like, no, you won't. She has to fight off two people again. And she gets rid of the second one. I'm going to do a manhandle slam to you through this table. No, you won't. And they kept doing it until finally Zoe accidentally punches Trish in the face and knocks her off through a table. And Wade's like, there might have been a receipt for the chair earlier. And that was great. And then Zoe is very mortified by having done this and looks to Becky, and Becky just immediately manhandle slams her through a table and gets the pin. 1, 2, 3. This was really good. I thought this was a really great use of both Becky and Zoe Stark. And now all that's left is for Becky to whoop that Trish.
That's right. That's what Tyler said.
Whoop that Trish. In Pittsburgh, in the Steel City, in a steel cage, and then move on with her life, because this has been going on way too long. Like I believe February, like it's been going on way too long.
It's been going on since the end of January.
Jesus,
guys, this is the main event. So send in your super chats and humper chats because we made like no money. And if Alex and I organically finish at like 1:30, that's just something. There's something wrong there. So send us all your money. Do it. Open up your wallets.
Yeah, or don't. Send in your money. Whatever. I mean, I'm not gonna beg.
I am. I'm gonna beg.
You're gonna
send in your money. Okay, because I'm a professional. I spoke at a podcast conference this week. I'm a really big deal. Okay. So I am gonna, I'm panhandling out here. I'm Sally Struthersing. For just 5 cents a day, you can get Fightful Select. And you can read about how dramatic CM Punk is and everybody's punching each other. And you can get all these things. But mostly you can send in your super chats and your humper chats. I will say main event was great. Like my only complaint about it is this angle feels as though it ran out of juice around SummerSlam because it was supposed to happen at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. And it has felt like they are working very hard to extend this to Payback. Now, that being said, I'm glad they did it because they deserve a prominent space on a pay-per-view card. And I will say, if you're stretching the story out, it really helps when you have great matches to offset that. So I feel like that part's really good in what we got tonight. It was also really refreshing seeing Zoe get a match with some real time behind it. I think that's really good. Mm-hmm. And some creative offense from her in this. I really liked it. I think Becky made her look like $1 million. Her fighting off Trish in the process, like, yes, get a friend, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, Trish hasn't really, like, done a lot to make me think she's, like, a viable second threat in right there. So it's, like, it's a little bit of both, but I'm glad that we'll probably be clearing this out soon because they deserve the big blow-off spot, but yeah, this is also overstayed its welcome from a creative standpoint because they did all the build to get to SummerSlam and then didn't pay it off. But really, really strong match tonight. In general, a lot of really good in-ring tonight. I love that a lot of these matches got time and it's some of the greatest wrestlers in the world that are getting this mm-hmm time in your Chad yeah Gables, in your Becky Lynch and Zoe Stark. So mm-hmm really, really refreshing to have that. And I've said it a couple times on the show, but overall, like, the changes on commentary have made this feel like so much less of a chore when combined with that pacing in the show. Right. Like, it's a lot easier to watch 3 hours in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan Corona has said, and two things might happen. A, Punk gets released and goes to WWE. Or B, Tony Khan doesn't want to release Punk because he knows he's going to WWE. But let's see how this backstage fight ends. None of those things are happening.
Yeah, that's how I
at least
feel.
Not for a while. At least not for a while. They're I don't know, man. This whole situation is dumb. Nobody looks good in this thing. And no,
WWE is setting records in every town they go to. Like, they don't need to run the risk of mm-hmm that guy being there. I don't think AEW does either, but they basically anchored an entire second show to the guy. So if you're WWE, the risk reward looks a lot different mm-hmm than, because I don't think CM Punk is drawing more than Roman Reigns. Maybe if you mm-hmm do Austin mm-hmm Punk at Mania and nothing else or whatever, but like mm-hmm they don't need to run that risk. And to be honest, like, at this point, to me, it's more sad than anything. Like, that guy seems unwell if you are in Wembley Stadium in front of the largest pro wrestling crowd in history, fighting Samoa Joe and one of the most storied legacies in wrestling of all time, and you're deeply unhappy. Like, that's actually just really sad. So I hope everybody is okay. That's all.
Yeah. Meet Normus says, here's $5 for Linder and the Sheeler. Restaurant quality review of Raw. Don't think I'll watch, but thanks for taking one for the team. Toodles.
Wasn't bad tonight, honestly. Not a bad Raw.
The in-ring was pretty good. The Nakamura thing was excellent. Dominic didn't talk. They're good. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. Not bad. I think that's it. I don't know if there's anything else to say. Come back tomorrow for stuff where we talk about.
So, like, Tuesdays.
Yeah.
They're sillier than
they're much
tonight?
much sillier. I wanted to be on my best behavior for Jonathan.
No. We have to
be sleeping off some jet lag. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to do that. You know.
Yeah, it's a lot. Here's the thing: on Tuesday nights, we're really deep in it with the lore. And our own little community and our own weird little wackadoos. And to just to bring that over to Monday, he says it's like it's a heavy lift. It's a lot of introducing you to a lot of really weird stuff. So there's Tuesdays, but we're extremely silly and fun. If you liked what you got tonight, you can catch us Tuesdays doing the NXT Sour Grapes Po Show. We're usually more sour than we were tonight, to be honest, but we also have a ton of fun on Tuesdays. This past Tuesday was so silly. Wednesdays, you can catch me at the Mark Order, and then I'm back on Fightful Thursdays and Fridays for your ROH Impact review and SmackDown review, respectively. Also, Sundays, I do most of the time, me and Joel do Kate and Joel Call It in the Ring, but we've just had a busy little summer, so we've been ships in the night a little bit, but you can catch me on Fightful Overbooked, and normally Mondays, and Alex and I are behind the paywall. So that's all my plugs, and you can follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on Twitter, complaining about the AEW Women's Division and posting pictures of my dog.
Tomorrow, what she said. Wednesday, you find me here talking with Sean about Dynamite and whatever the hell's going to happen there, because who knows? Some crazy stuff. What's the card for All Out? Nobody knows. People suspended.
Takeshita and Kenny, though.
Well, yeah, Takeshita, I know. But there's a bunch of stuff that we don't know other things about. Fightful Select podcasts for this weekend. One for Payback and one for All Out. There you go.
There you go. Yeah. Double trouble.
Double
toil and trouble.
Rubble. Hamburglar? Everything sucks.
Wait, we have a super chat.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.